Chapter 19. I landed on the other side of the portal, knees first, and I stifled a groan of pain as I crashed into the rocky ground. Ashla's suit luckily took on the brunt of the blow, so my palms were spared the burn they likely would have suffered otherwise, but the effort still didn't feel all that great.
Maker!
I cursed as my head spun a bit. I took the briefest of moments to catch my breath, and once most of my disorientation faded, I raised my eyes to search for Sarah. I didn't have to look far, because the Arcan was about 10 feet away from me, but my calmness shifted to alarm the moment I locked eyes with her.
Griff?
She called out to me faintly from her place on the red clay ground. The raven-haired goddess's already fair complexion had blanched to a near-ghostly shade, and her usually vibrant yellow eyes were dull and glazed. A sheen of sweat covered her forehead, and her lips chattered as her chest heaved.
Sarah?
I breathed, and then I shakily rose to my feet and rushed over to my winged lover. I crouched down and wrapped my arms around her, and the Arcan wilted in my embrace.
My love,
she stammered in a shaky voice.
I'm sorry for the rocky landing. I didn't mean for it to be so abrupt.
Shh, I soothed her. Don't say another word. Let's get you back into my mind so Zan can heal you back to full strength.
I don't want to leave you alone here,
Sarah insisted, and she tried to sit up on her own, but her limbs trembled so terribly that she just sank back down. I won't be alone, I assured her, and I tilted her chin up so I could look her deep in the eyes. You're already with me, even if you aren't out here physically. I love you, Sarah, and I owe you everything for getting me here. Please, let me recall you so you can rest. Sarah opened her mouth as if she intended to fight me on the matter, but when she coughed, the raspy, wet sound seemed to convince her otherwise, and she simply nodded in agreement.
Okay,
the goddess managed.
Recall me. Please, Griff. If you need me, summon me forth. I wish to lend a hand in Asraneth's demise.
I will, I promised her, and before I could stop it, my voice betrayed my emotions, and my lower lip trembled slightly. Thank you for everything, Sarah. I owe you my all. And once this demon is defeated once and for all, I'll make sure to give you the most wonderful life possible.
You've already given me the best life imaginable,
Sarah murmured, and her yellow eyes filled to the brim with tears.
I love you, Griff.
I love you too, I repeated, and since I was wearing a helmet and couldn't kiss her, I pressed our foreheads together for a moment before I recalled her to my mind. After the tingling sensation in my shoulder blades faded, I reached into my consciousness. Zan, she's in rough shape, I urged the Azure Winged Goddess. I need you to do everything in your power to restore her completely and quickly. I don't want to risk either her or the baby's lives.
She'll be healed in no time at all,
Zan assured me in her honeyed voice.
Don't worry about a thing, Griff. I have it under control.
Thank you, Zan, I replied. But before I could return my attention to my surroundings, I felt a few more stirs throughout my mind.
Are you in need of our assistance?
Karth proposed in a tone both determined and somehow pleasant at the same time.
If you need another by your side, you can summon me forth. You can call me forth as well,
Huna chimed in.
We don't want you to fight this alone.
For a moment, I considered turning the Arcans down and insisting I was fit to handle this on my own. But ultimately, the offer was a good one, and I could stand to have all of the backup at my disposal. All right, I agreed. I could use you at my side. As for the rest of you, I'll summon you forth when the time comes. Huna, Karth, and I are going to examine this space and try to make a game plan first. All right?
Sounds perfect to us, Master.
Viopa spoke up.
We'll be here awaiting your directions. Please be safe.
I will, I promised the succubus goddess. Without further ado, I summoned the pair of Arkans forth, and when they manifested before me, their eyes blazed with similar determination. Karth's hands wrapped around the whip she kept at her side, while Huna's fell to her gilded sword, and the pair unsheathed their weapons and held them aloft.
Just in case.
Karth gave me the tiniest of smiles.
We can't afford to be taken off guard by another one of the demon's shadow minions.
Good thinking. I commended her, and I couldn't help but smile back. After I unsheathed my dagger, I turned my attention away from the green-skinned goddess and finally took a look at my surroundings. When I took in the sight of the unfamiliar landscape surrounding me, my eyes widened, and my eyebrows raised so high on my face, I was amazed they didn't fly off completely. The moon was not what I'd expected in the slightest. As a child, I'd spent more time than I'd wanted to admit staring up at the moon and stars, and imagining what it was like in the world beyond the realm. Sometimes I liked to pretend the moon was a whole different planet, with a completely different realm filled with moon monsters and other celestial beings. I hadn't been too far off, only, much like Mistral and the rest of the realm below, the landscape around me had been warped into a nightmarish hellscape. Perhaps it had always been this way, but it was easy to see Azraneth's influence all around us. Instead of the endless black we saw before, the space above me resembled a sky, only instead of blue, it was a strange, sickly shade somewhere between red and orange. Everything was coated with a thick haze that made me feel as if I had something stuck in my eyes, and I blinked rapidly just to make sure my vision wasn't playing tricks on me. Yet, nothing changed. Plumes of thick clouds only furthered the haze, and they pulsed with the licks of violet-gray lightning. A symphony of thunder crashes paired with thin whistles of wind, and I was reminded of early summer storms. This was all so odd. I nudged the ground with my foot and cringed at the strange quality of the dirt. When Sarah and I had first fallen through the portal, I'd perceived it to be some kind of russet clay, and yet as I toed the material with my boot, I realized the material was more akin to ash, like the soot Azraneth's shadow minions disintegrated into when they were defeated.
This isn't right,
Karth murmured as she reached down and scooped up a handful of dirt. She allowed the clumpy ash to stream through her fingers, and her delicate nose scrunched up in disgust.
The moon is not meant to be this way.
The demon's stains run deep throughout this place.
Huna agreed with her sister as her sterling eyes stared ahead.
It was not always like this, I'm certain of it.
How is there a sky? I wondered as my mind struggled to wrap itself around the concept. Or an atmosphere, for that matter. Is that common for a moon?
I am not sure,
Karth said, and her mouth curled down into a tiny frown.
But at the same time, I'm not certain it's truly a sky at all, but rather a haze of the demon's own doing. It's hard to say exactly, especially since none of us have ever gone this far past the human realm. Even with our prolonged existences and subsequent life experiences, neither my sisters nor I have ever crossed into space before.
Huh. I thought of something, I realized. Maybe the moon's properties are different because this wasn't always a true moon? Felona's history book mentioned our moon came about when Azraneth's asteroid hit the planet and broke off a piece of it.
That would make a lot of sense,
Huna allowed.
Perhaps we've all been wrong in assuming it was ever a moon at all.
Then why were we driven by our need to walk in the moonlight?
Karth mused.
Why were any of us sent back into the shadowscape when the sun fell in the human realm?
We may never know,
her sister said.
Maybe one day we'll find our answers, but at least we have complete confirmation that our union with our master has changed things for us. We're able to walk freely on the moon without consequence, which means we must be with child.
Our dance in the moonlight in Lulutamba was evidence enough, but I'm glad to know for sure.
Karth grinned, and the sparkle of her perfect white teeth was captivating. You two are going to make wonderful mothers, I noted. The Arkans and I came together for a small embrace, and when we parted, we decided to start walking around the surface of the moon. I couldn't help but glance over my shoulder every so often, and it wasn't until the fourth or fifth time that I realized I was searching for 11 familiar faces. My friends had yet to join us, and while I hated abandoning them, I knew I had to focus on the task ahead. I wish the others were here, I sighed. Arwen in particular. She'd be absolutely amazed by all of this. Well, everyone else as well. I hope they're faring okay out there.
I'm sure your fellow guardians are more than capable of handling whatever comes their way,
Karth assured me as she rested a hand on her hip.
They're fearsome warriors, especially your Nia. With her on your side, there's no way one of the demon's monsters will harm them. I'm sure of it.
She is quite a force,
Huna complimented my ashen-haired wife.
If she didn't resemble the rest of her human family so closely, I'd almost be convinced she was an Archon. Her elemental magic is quite impressive.
She's incredible, I agreed with the pair. Yet it's so strange to hear the both of you praise my friends and family, considering our pasts.
We're all on the same side now,
Karth shrugged.
I may not have been able to accept you and your family when I sought the destruction of the human realm, but now...
I'm glad we finally reached this point. I smiled at the Horned Goddess. I know we have all had our differences, and when it comes to mortality, we all differ greatly. But I care for you all so much.
And we care for you, Master.
Huna winked at me, and her fair skin flushed a deep rose shade that complemented her copper hair nicely.
Now, enough of this love fest. We'll have plenty of time to sing each other's praises later. We have a mission to attend to.
We traversed a small set of hills, and with every step I took in the red dirt, I felt my heartbeat accelerate. Despite my best efforts, I was a little nervous, and the more we wandered around the empty landscape, the more anxious I felt. Where was Azraneath? Was it in hiding? Was this all some kind of trap? When Sarah and I had stepped through the portal, I'd expected to basically land right on top of the demon, but Azraneath was nowhere to be seen. All I could see was red dirt, hills, and hazy clouds for miles.
Master, where is the demon?
Karth wondered as she rested her free hand on her hip and craned her neck around to get a closer look at our surroundings. I don't know, I admitted as I nudged the ground with my boot. I'm just as baffled as you are.
I think I can feel its energy,
Huna remarked as her sterling eyes flickered over the ground.
Azraneath's. Can you, Griff?
I closed my eyes and concentrated on feeling the auras and magic around me, and as my mind spanned out, a flood of coldness shot through me. It wasn't physical so much as it was a chilling emptiness, and I immediately opened my eyes again to look at the Archons. I can feel it too, I said. The demon is here, I just don't see it. It's odd. In Mistral, the demon is the only thing to be seen, but here it's like... underground or something. I don't even see the tentacles, which feels a little odd.
Perhaps the demon is underground?
Karth wondered with a confused expression.
It's been rooted into the planet for thousands of years. It would make sense for it to be within the moon rather than waiting on the surface.
That's not a bad idea, I allowed, and my hand crept even closer to my bandolier at the thought. Though that makes things a little more complicated. How far do you think it's spread out?
It's hard to say.
The green-skinned goddess crossed her arms against her ample chest.
Perhaps we could devise some way to track it?
Keela,
Huna said vaguely. And when Karth and I turned to her, the warrior Archon elaborated further.
When we first awoke from our slumber, Azraneath targeted the eldest of us specifically. From what we've discussed, Keela could sense the demon the strongest, and she felt his sway more intensely than the rest of us, aside from Karth. Perhaps she could be of aid.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, I commended the wolf-eared goddess, and I reached into the depths of my consciousness and called out to the skeletal Archon. Keela, we're in need of you. We think you could help us track Azraneth.
Summon me forth, Master.
Keela's musical voice replied.
I would love to assist you in any way I can.
I unlocked the doors that kept Keela sealed away, and my ankle tingled as her mark streamed forth into essence. When the blue-black smoke cleared, the petite beauty stood before us, and she tilted her head to the side in a childlike way as she observed the moon.
Wow!
She breathed, and her full lips turned upward into a gorgeous smile that nearly melted me.
This is incredible. Terrifying. But incredible nonetheless. I can't believe we're here amongst the stars.
I hate to ask straight away, but Keela, could you try to reach out and feel Azraneth's energy? I requested. Your magic, combined with the demon's past influence on you, makes you our strongest tracker.
I will try.
Keela agreed, and she swept her waist-length golden brown hair over her shoulder before she closed her eyes. The rest of us fell silent for a while. Anything? I prompted her impatiently. Keela raised a finger in the air before her eyes flew open.
Master, I think I found it.
Really? I asked in a hopeful tone.
Yes.
She nodded, and then she pointed ahead.
The demon is waiting in this general direction. I can feel its death magic pulsing like a heartbeat through the ground.
Can you lead us to it? I asked the goddess, and she nodded once again.
We must hurry,
she insisted, and she bit down on her slightly fuller lower lip.
The pulses are strengthening by the minute.
It's feeding, I realized with horror, and then I straightened my posture. We need to hurry.
Brilliant,
Huna agreed with me, and the wolf-eared Arkin nudged her sword in the direction her sister had pointed.
Lead the way, Keela, and we will follow suit.
Keela practically skipped forward, and Karth, Huna, and I dutifully followed behind her. The petite Arkin's arms remained at her sides, but her palms were flat and parallel to the ground. When my mana pulsed, I deduced her strange posture had something to do with her energy detection, so I didn't question it further.
Have either of you noticed the lack of smell around here?
Huna noted as we hustled after Keela. What do you mean? I frowned at the copper-haired goddess.
Back in Mistral, there was that foul odor in the air.
Huna grimaced, and her rainbow wolf's ears tilted downwards as if they were mirroring the expression.
Up here, however, there is no odor at all. In fact, the air smells like home before the demon awoke from its slumber.
Really? I frowned, and my eyebrows creased together in surprise. I hadn't even noticed. Ashla's helmet was designed to filter any of the toxins out.
Back in Mistral, you were able to breathe without needing the mask.
Keela pointed out to me.
Perhaps you don't need the helmet up here.
Huh, I remarked, and my finger lingered on the release button in the right wrist of my suit. The Arkin had a fair point, and the removal of the helmet would give me a lot more mobility, especially when I met up with Azraneth. Sure, the helmet granted me the obvious protection, but would I be able to react a lot quicker and easier without having any form of the blind spot? So I stopped in my tracks and pressed the release button, and a clicking noise rang in my ears as the helmet sprang from the latches around my neck. I felt an influx of air beginning to fill the facial covering, and after a single deep breath, I removed the helmet completely. To my amazement, the air around me smelled nothing like the sulfurous air of the Shadowscape. In fact, it didn't have a smell at all, and simply reminded me of the way Mistral was before Azraneth's toxins had leaked in. Where are the poisons? I asked no one in particular as I shook my head back and forth slowly.
The demon made its home up here thousands of years ago,
Keela mused.
It makes sense the air up here would need to be viable. Otherwise the demon would have perished long ago.
You're probably right, I agreed with her. I'd have thought the demon would thrive in the type of air that fills the Shadowscape, but this makes a lot more sense. I relished in being able to breathe air once more, and though Ashla's helmet was lightweight, it felt great to be free from the head covering. It certainly made the trek over the hills and cliffs a lot easier, and when we finally traversed the highest point of our path, I was met with an unexpected sight. The red dirt clearing was ringed by high, rocky cliffs and hills, almost as if it was an arena. Amongst the tall rocks, I spotted what appeared to be small volcanic structures, and waterfalls that spilled over with the same thick, viscous liquid that filled the seas in the southern territories. It pulled into a small pond that shimmered like oil and overflowed onto the dark red ground. "Wow," I remarked as I noted the hazy clouds that were gathering above the clearing. The yellow-orange sky had grown darker since the Arkans and I had first set foot on the moon, and I wondered if it would be close to the same shade as Mistral.
"It's time,"
Huna remarked vaguely, and the warrior goddess's plush rainbow wolf tail flicked behind her as she tightened her grip around the hilt of the gilded sword.
"Isn't it, Master?"
"It is," I nodded. "I can feel it in the air and in the ground. Azraneth is in that clearing."
"How do you want to proceed?"
Karth asked as she rested her hand on my shoulder.
"Do we summon a monster to shepherd us over? Or do we go on our own?"
"We should probably summon a monster just to cut down on time," I decided with a slight raise of my chin. "I'm tired of hiding. Tired of skulking. It's time to take this demon on. I'm done with waiting." The Horned Arkan's russet eyes studied me with a look I'd never seen in them before. It wasn't battle lust. It wasn't recklessness. This was an expression of love, and it was further strengthened when her hand traveled down my arm until her fingers made contact with mine.
"I have an idea for transport,"
Huna spoke up. The wolf-eared Arkan snapped her fingers, and the hazy air around us began to shimmer and glitter as four of her mist wolves manifested. The iridescent creatures let out soft howls toward their mistress, and the warrior goddess petted them affectionately.
"We need you to carry us to the clearing,"
she instructed the wolves, and after her monsters inclined their heads into a nod, Huna gestured to them, and the Arkans and I mounted the beautiful creatures. "Shall we?" I prompted the group, and when Huna whistled, the mist wolves started to move toward the clearing. The closer we got to the empty space in the middle of the cliffs, the greater my feelings of dread began to rise, and I could practically feel my heart throbbing in my ears. The mist wolves seemed to understand the urgency of the situation, and they began to run faster toward our destination. Finally, we made it over the rocky hills, and when we reached the clearing, we dismounted the wolves. I stood as tall as I could muster and tried to seek out the demon, but I couldn't see it.
"Is it here?"
Karth wondered as she rested a hand on a mist wolf. We seemed to be utterly alone in this clearing, and my impatience began to swell.
"Where are you?"
I whispered as my eyes trailed over the ground.
"Show yourself!"
Suddenly, the wind began to whip around us, and with it brought a smell akin to burning hair. The pungency of it swelled with every gust, so I hastily donned my helmet once more and fastened it into the latches of my suit. Relief flooded through me as the disgusting smell faded from my nostrils, but when I looked back out at the clearing, the scent was the least of my worries. The winds had started to kick up a dark storm, and swirls of shadowy plumes began to spin in a circle. The black tornado picked up speed, and I had to strengthen my stance in order to remain in place.
"Griff, be careful,"
Huna called out to me as she, Karth, and Keela clung to each other.
"I'm fine," I shouted back at the goddesses. "Stay together. Have the wolves surround you."
Huna snapped her fingers, and her iridescent monsters immediately circled around the Arkans and formed a protective wall to shield them from the gust. Meanwhile, I stood firm and raised my chin. Azraneth was attempting to intimidate me, but no matter how many storms and terrifying imagery the demon threw at me, I wasn't afraid anymore. The moment the realization hit me, the storm fell away into nothingness, and when the plumes of smoke cleared, an enormous mass of inky black tentacles and blazing orange eyes stood in its wake. Hundreds of feet tall, the demon was practically a mountain of shadow and glowing orbs, and I fought back a chill as it blinked at me.
If it isn't the legendary Beastmaker, here at last to meet his ultimate demise.
Azranith's voice rang out in my mind.